firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to...
Pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. When will Jesus return to the earth for his followers? Well, very few issues of our faith are more hotly debated by scholars and laymen than the rapture of the church, one of the first events in the end times. But what does the Bible say? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us to the heart of this debate in 2 Thessalonians, beginning at chapter 1, verse 10. Let's get right to it by starting in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word together. As we listen, help us to understand your great plan for the world and for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come here to another one of the great prophetic chapters in the Word of God. Back in 1 Thessalonians, we called attention to the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. That has to do with the rapture of the church, and also it had to do with the day of the Lord, too, and the great tribulation, and the coming of Christ and glory to the earth. You find all of that in 1 Thessalonians, in the entire epistle. Now, in this epistle, in chapter 2 here, the emphasis is going to be actually on the great tribulation period. But we also are going to find one of the finest passages, I think, on the rapture of the church. Now, back in verse 10 of chapter 1 here of 2 Thessalonians, and I went over this rather hurriedly, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, I believe that has reference to his coming to the earth. Now, when he comes in the rapture, actually, what happens is the church is caught up. The believers, living and dead, are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, they don't come on to the earth then. They go back to the place where the Lord Jesus has prepared for the church. He says that, I'm going to take you to be with me. Now, the world enters the great tribulation. At the end of that period, he comes in glory and judgment to the earth. Now, at the rapture, he does not judge the earth at all. 1 Thessalonians 4 made it clear. The Lord, in the 14th chapter of John, made it clear. And Paul again and again, and I think you have it in the message to the churches in Revelation. He's not coming to the earth in judgment at that time, but he comes at the end of the great tribulation period. And this chapter now makes that clear, so that what you have in verse 10 there is now the mention of his coming to the earth, because we saw last time he's coming in judgment, and the great subject of hell came before us, and we dealt with that. Now, we deal here in chapter 2, and I begin. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now, the reference here is to our gathering together unto him. And this aspect of the coming is the rapture of the church. The emphasis here is upon our gathering together to him. There's not judgment at that time. Now, the reason he mentions that is verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, if you will consult any good Bible with notes, you will find a note at the side, even if it's not already the change made. It's not the day of Christ, but it's the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, we've already dealt with that. The day of the Lord has no reference to the church. The thing that happens at the rapture, the day of Christ, or the age of grace, ends. That is, the calling out of the church. And The church is caught up to meet him. Now there begins the day of the Lord. And we've seen that's a subject of the Old Testament, whereas the rapture is not. And what happens is it begins with night. The day of the Lord, Joel says, is not light, it's darkness. It's a time of judgment. And it opens like that because the Hebrew day, and in Genesis 1, the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, evidently, someone had circulated a letter or an oral word, nor by word or by letter, or somebody said they had a communication from the Lord, specially. It's interesting. We've always had a group of people that seem to get direct information from the Lord. May I say they don't study the Word of God. They want to get it direct. It's much easier just to have a telephone conversation and get it that way rather than go to school or take up the Bible and study it. So there was circulating in Thessalonica a word that had come to them. And there was some saying that it was a special revelation, something Brother Paul didn't tell you. That's always interesting. These super-duper saints get something that nobody else gets. And there were those there, nor by word, that is, this was a word of mouth, nor by letter, and apparently was a spurious letter circulating, or at least somebody said they had it, and I have a notion no one had really seen it, that it was from us, that is, from Paul and Timothy and Silas, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, this had caused a problem with the Thessalonian believers, and you can see why. They were in persecution. They were having trouble. And it was very easy for somebody to say, well, this is the great tribulation period that you're in. The day of the Lord has come, and we're already in it. Now, the Word of God mentions the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, it begins, friends, with judgment. And that's the reason I think that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he quoted from Joel. And he says, this is that. He says to those that were listening, they knew that there was a day coming in the future when the Spirit of God would be poured out. But it was going to be the day of the Lord. In verse 20 of Acts 2, he says, at that time the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And certainly that hadn't happened at Pentecost. At the crucifixion of Christ, why, there had been an earthquake and there was darkness. But now, on the day of Pentecost, there was nothing like that at all. There was a rushing sound like a mighty wind, and it sat upon them as fire. It was no wind, but it sounded like a hurricane that had hit the town, and it caused everybody to rush up to the temple area to see what had happened. Now, Peter calls that, quoting Joel, that's the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a time of judgment, begins like that. And all that Peter is saying is that this is that. This is similar to that. You think these men are drunk? Well, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a day coming. The Orthodox Jew in that day believed there was a day coming when God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, wasn't poured out on all flesh. I think that ought to be obvious to anyone. Then we find that Peter mentions the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And we saw that in 1 Thessalonians 5, that he'll not come as a thief in the night. He says he won't come as a thief in the night to believers. Therefore, we have to stay awake. This is not the time to sleep. Because he will come to a sleepy world like that, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now that has not happened, did not happen on the day of Pentecost. Let me give one other reference to this. It's in Revelation 6, verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now that's not for the church. The church is to look for him, a person to come. We're identified with him. Now Paul goes on in verse 3, and will you follow me very carefully? Let no man deceive you by any means. And let's don't be deceived today. Let's listen to Paul. For that day shall not come. What day? The day of the Lord. Not the rapture, but the day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, that's number one, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now you have these two here. You have two things that have to take place before the day of the Lord can begin. And neither one of them has taken place yet. The first one that will take place, there must come a falling away first. Now, there have been those that look at this as the apostasy. And the very interesting thing is that I think it refers to that, but it means more than that, because the word means more than that. This falling away first, it's the translation of apostasia, and that comes from a root word, apostasis, which actually means departure or removal from. And the verb means to remove. There must come a removing. Now, there are two kinds of removings that are going to take place. One is they will depart from the faith. Now, that's apostasy. But that can't take place until the true church is removed, because there will be total apostasy when the Lord comes. Because he says, when the Son of Man comes, and that means to the earth, will he find the faith, that is, the body of truth that he left here? No, the answer is no, he won't find it. There'll be total apostasy. Why? Because of two things. The organization has departed from the faith. It's apostatized, but there's been another departure. And that is the departure of the true church. The departure of the true church leads to the other, you see. Now, in other words, the day of the Lord can't come, and that also means that the great tribulation can't begin, the man of sin can't appear, until what? Until there is the departure, the removal of the church, the departure of the church from the earth. And this is what he's already enlarged upon in the first epistle. He's not going over here, because here he's emphasizing the day of the Lord. And he's already told them about the departure. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, shout, voice of archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then those that are alive, this is for those that are in Christ, that's the church caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's a departure. That's what he's talking about. Now, some are going to depart from the faith. Their organization is left down here. And we see it as a great harlot in the 17th chapter of Revelation. And it gets worse. The organization does. The Laodicean church is in sad condition. I think we're in that particular period today. Now, it will finally end in total apostasy. Now, we find here the departure of the church from the earth. Now, from the viewpoint of the earth, it's a departure. From the viewpoint of heaven, it's a rapture, you see. Caught up. You're looking at it from heaven when you say that. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Here, you're looking at it from the earth. Now, I think the world's going to say at that time, boy, they're gone. That fellow McGee that is on radio that was such a nuisance, he's gone. He's departed. He's left. And I'm going to say hallelujah. But the world will rejoice. But it's going to be a sad day for the earth. They think they're entering the millennium and they're entering the great tribulation period. And it's going to be rough on them. They won't know what it is, but it's going to be rough. The church will have gone. I think it'll be a sad day. May I illustrate what I'm talking about here? Some time ago, Miss McGee and I were at the Los Angeles airport a little early. We were taking a morning flight to Florida at that time. And we were waiting. We always get there early, generally have breakfast. And so I was walking around in that particular area And there's a great big 747 plane that was getting ready to go to the Hawaiian Islands. And I'd love to have gotten on that one, too, by the way, but you can't go on two planes at the same time. But the thing that interests me is I walked into that area where they were waiting to board the plane. There sat there a young soldier boy, fine-looking young fella, and by him, the prettiest little girl you've ever seen, and they had a little baby that was just out of this world. And I thought what a fine-looking family it was. But they were sad-looking. They weren't saying anything. All sitting there, and the little fella, he was just having the biggest time, though, just gurgling and carrying on. But in a few moments, why, the plane was called, and they stood up, this couple, and this soldier boy, great big fella, just put his arms around that little wife and that baby, and they all began to weep, that is, except the baby, and he's just laughing like mad, but these two are just weeping, you know. He's going back, apparently, going back to some foreign soil, and so he went and picked up that bag he had and walked out through the gate and disappeared, but he turned around and waved at her, and she stood there and tears coming down her eyes. And she went over and watched the plane as it pulled out and then as it took off. And then I watched her holding that little baby walking away. It'd been a departure. It was an apostasia. That's what it was, an apostasia. Histamine means to stand, apo to stand away from. And it means literally to remove. He'd removed himself. At least the government had removed him. The Marine Corps had. And he's gone. That plane took off. And I saw her gather up that little fella and walk down, you know, and get on the escalator, going out probably to get in a car and leave. My heart went out to her. It's going to be hard for her, friends. It's going to be hard for her. But the world, you know, is going to rejoice when the church leaves, but it's going to be rough. They're going to enter the great tribulation period. And Paul says here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There'll be an apostasy of the church. But the true church is going to leave, you see. The true church, you can't have a total apostasy as long as there are believers down here. And the liberals would like to get rid of us. They are one of these days. And then the second thing, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. When he's revealed, you're in the great tribulation period. Now, he's called here the man of sin. He's called the Antichrist by John. John's the only one who uses that term, by the way. He has about 30 different titles in the Bible. He's a subject of the Old Testament. He is going to be Satan's man. I'm going to talk about this when we get to 1 John and Revelation in detail. But let me say here, this is the man that first will put the Roman Empire back together again. And then he's going to become finally a world dictator. And he's going to deceive the world. But he can't appear, that is, in power. He could be in our midst today, but he won't be able to come to power and reveal who he is until you get in the great tribulation period. Now we are told concerning him who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now one of the things that he's going to claim, of course, is that he is God. Now we'll have to hold this till we get to the 13th chapter of Revelation. But there we find that the beast out of the sea, that's going to be the Antichrist heading up first, bringing together Western Europe as we know it today. And he'll put it back together again. And when he does, he's going to show himself as God. And the world will think he's Christ. I think that's the big lie here. Now he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul didn't mind talking about these things. And they say, well, preacher shouldn't dwell on these things. Well, Paul did. Paul says, when I was with you, I told you about them. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Well, what can withhold evil in the world? Well, the only one I know of is the Holy Spirit. Actually, government can't do it today. They're not doing it. The Roman Empire actually didn't do it. They were an evil force themselves. Now he goes on to say in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, and that is lawlessness, and believe me, we got that today, and I think it'll increase, but this is the period, believe me, it's going to break out. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now, when's he taken out? He'll be taken out with the church. Now, somebody says, won't the Holy Spirit be in the world during the Great Tribulation? Yes. Wasn't he in the world before Pentecost? He sure was. He's back in the Old Testament, but on a different mission. Now he'll be on a different mission after the church is removed because the Spirit of God's going to present us. And we're sealed until the day of redemption. He has to deliver us to the Lord Jesus. If he didn't, we wouldn't make it. And he'll deliver us. And when he does, then he comes back to the earth, I think, to resume his former mission down here and former office. But he won't hinder evil. He's going to let the devil have it for a while. And believe me, I don't want to be here when the devil has it. It looks like he's got it today, and that to me is bad enough. I don't want to be here when it's turned over to him. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He'll be a world dictator, Antichrist will, the man of sin, and nobody can stop him, no power on earth. Only the coming of Christ, just as God's people were in Egypt and nobody could deliver them. They were hopeless and helpless, but God delivered them. And that is a picture of what it'll be when the Lord Jesus comes to the earth to establish his kingdom. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. May I say to you that this is the only miracle worker that is predicted today. And I'm always afraid when somebody tells me somebody's performing miracles because they haven't come from heaven. The next one is coming from the devil. The devil will send him, and he'll do it with power and signs and lying wonders. How do we walk today? We walk by faith. Let's get our eyes off of man and get them on Christ and walk by faith today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Are you walking by faith today? As Dr. McGee mentioned, if your eyes are on the people around you, you're eventually going to be disappointed. But when you put your trust and faith in Jesus, he will never let you down. If you'd like to know more about how you can follow Jesus, then visit us at ttb.org and click on How Can I Know God? Or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE and request a couple of resources by Dr. McGee that describe the free gift of salvation found in Jesus Christ. Again, these items are our gift to anyone who downloads them at ttb.org. Or if you'd rather we send a couple of them to you by mail, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if God has used this program in your life, will you let us know? Emailing us is super easy. Just write at BibleBus@ttb.org. Now, we love receiving letters like this one from Trudy. This program builds my faith and teaches me to center my prayers on others instead of myself. I have listened to the Bible Bus whenever I am able for many years. Each message is such an inspiration and fresh because it is the truth from the Bible, not man's interpretation. God bless the work you are doing. Thank you for your encouragement. Well, thanks for your letter, Trudy. We praise God for his work in your life and the lives of our fellow listeners around the world. So what's your story? Well, we'd love to hear how God is changing and challenging you. So write to us today. Again, our email address is BibleBus@ttb.org or mail your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Our quick study in 2 Thessalonians ends this Friday, and on Monday we'll return to the Old Testament and the prophetic books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. Do you have a copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines? Well, if not, download them today. To get Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for your entire 5-year study in one handy volume, visit the resources section of ttb.org and click on Briefing the Bible. Or to download the individual notes and outlines for just Jeremiah and Lamentations, click on Notes and Outlines. You can also have an abridged print copy of Briefing the Bible sent to you by mail. Just request it at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. For those of you who are new to the program, the notes and outlines contain basic but important background information, such as the author, date, and major themes of each book that we study together. It really helps to give an overall understanding of what we're studying. Again, the quickest way to get them is to go online. Just type in ttb.org/briefingthebible, all one word. Well, that's all for us today. Be sure to join us tomorrow for more important information about the end times with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.